Okay, good morning, everybody. Although today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Mem Zayin, we're going to learn the end of Daf Mem Zayin and Daf Mem Ches, which is tomorrow's daf, so that we will be one day ahead going into Tisha B'Av. So we left off yesterday on Mem Zayin and Beis at the top of the page at Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna, four lines from the top of the page on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Natalie and Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, as well as by Chani and J.J. Hornblass in memory of his father, the Honorable Jerome Hornblass, Yaakov Ben Moshe, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, the Nesham Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first, we already went through the whole list of people who don't have a chazaka, that they can't develop a chazaka in an item because for a variety of reasons. So the Gemara is going to discuss that we know that a chazaka does not work for a gazlan, but does a raya work for a gazlan? Does a shtar work for a gazlan? Meaning for the other people that don't have a chazaka, certainly a raya works, a shtar works. What about a gazlan? Is a gazlan different when it comes to raya meaning two edim, or a shtar meaning a shtar, right? Do those things work for a gazlan? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the sugya of Toluah v'Zavin. What if a person is forced to sell something? Is that a valid sale or is it an invalid sale? The Gemara is going to have four different explanations why Toluah v'Zavin should work. What makes it a valid sale? Then the Gemara is going to ultimately paskin about Toluah v'Zavin. Rava on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to paskin that a forced sale actually works, but Rava is going to attach three exceptions to that psak halacha, that even though it works, there are exceptions, cases where it does not work. And that's going to lead the Gemara, once we talk about Toluah v'Zavin, the Gemara is going to talk about Toluah v'Kidesh, forced kiddushin. And the concept of forced kiddushin is going to lead us into the concept of afkein rabbanon l'kiddushin minei, that sometimes things work, but even though they should work, the rabbanon makes some sort of a move in order to prevent it from working. So let's begin on Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, four lines from the top of the page. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. So again, the Gemara is working off of the entire list of people who are not able to have a chazaka. An uman, a shutaf, an aris, an apotropos, bal benichsei ishto, isha benichsei baila, right? All of those people, etc., who do not have a chazaka. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna. Rav Nachman says that Rav Huna had told me, meaning Rav Huna holds, we're going to see Rav Nachman himself disagrees, but Rav Huna holds, kulan, all of those people that don't have a chazaka, shehiviu raya, if they're able to bring a raya, meaning they're able to bring edim or a shtar, even though they don't have a raya that there was money that changed hands, but they have edim that there was a mechira, they have a shtar mechira, so rayas and raya, then we assume that it's actually a mechira, that they're actually the owners of the property, then their chazaka is going to work, and we'll allow them to keep the field. But gazlan shevi raya, but if a gazlan, even if he brings a raya, ein rayasa raya vein mamidin sadabiyada, we do not pay any attention to that raya, and he does not get to keep the field. Since the fact that the mocher may have been moda that he sold this to him could have come out of intimidation, out of fear that if he's not moda, then he's gonna, or he doesn't write up a shtar mechira, the gazlan is gonna maser him to the government or something. So because of that fear, we assume that the raya is not a valid raya. However, if the gazlan, the Rashbam points out, if the gazlan is able to bring edim that he actually paid, then his raya is a valid raya. Even though Rav Bibi is going to hold that even when you give money, the mechira is not a valid mechira, Rav Huna l'shitaso, later on we're going to see, holds that it is a valid mechira. That if you're able, the gazlan is able to prove that if he just has a shtar that it's mine, he has edim that say that there was a mechira, not good enough. But if he has edim that he actually paid for it, then that in fact is good enough. Tosas Harash writes that even if it initially came to him, Betoras Gazlanos, if afterwards he gave money, he's Kona. So Tosas raises the question, why does Rav Huna use a double expression? Rayas and Raya, Umamidin Sadabi Adam. Yeah, if it's a good Raya, he gets to keep the field. Of course, that's what the Raya is. The Raya is that the field this is. So Tosas in Dibra Maschil, Rayasan writes that the reason it says Rayasan Raya, Umamidin Sadabi Adam, by all of the others, is because it wants to say by Gazlan, Ein raya saraya ve ein mamid in sada biado. Because if it only, and by Gazlan, it's necessary to have both expressions. One does not necessarily follow from the other. Because if it only would have said ein raya saraya, I would have thought ein raya saraya legabe the fact that he doesn't keep the field. But we're still going to believe the raya in that he gave money for this field, meaning that this transaction may have been forced, this transaction may be invalid, but there was a two-way transaction. And if he gave money for the field, then he should get his money back. So you may be able to say, you may be able to tell the Gazlan, sorry, you don't get to keep the field, but then he should be able to say, so give me my money back. So that's why it has to say, Ein raya saraya ve'ein mamid nesada biyado. That it's not only ein raya saraya legabe the sada, it's ein raya saraya even legabe the money. So once it's going to say by the Gazlan, ein raya saraya ve'ein mamid nesada biyado, so it says by all the other people the double expression of raya saraya and ma'amidin sada biyadan. So that's the reason for the double expression. So ask the Gemara, okay, so Rav Huna told me that if you have a Gazlan, his raya is not a raya where he doesn't get to keep the field. Maika Mashmalan, what's the chiddush of Rav Huna that a Gazlan's raya doesn't work? Tanina, we already know this from a Mishnah, Mesechas Gittin, that Lokach Misikriko in the Mishnah Gittin, this is our Daf Yomi coincidence, this is in the Chorban Agadatas, where the Gemara discusses this. So lakach misikrikon, a person buys karka that belongs to another Jew from a sikrikon. A sikrikon is a murderous guy who the bala karka had given him that karka so that he could save his own to save his own life because the guy would have killed him otherwise. So you go to the sikrikon who confiscated and took away this land from a poor Jew who only gave it away because he wanted to save his life. V'chazav lakach mi balabayis, but then to be extra safe, you go to the original balabayis, the original Jew who owned this land, and he writes you a shtar mechira on this property, and you still haven't yet paid for it. Mekcha batal. The mekach is batal because the Gazlan took it from the Bailim Ba'ones, and therefore it didn't belong to the Sikrikon, and he agreed to write a shtar for the Kona only because he was, meaning the actual Bailim, only agreed to write a shtar for you only because he was terrified of the Gazlan. The same reason he gave it to him in the first place is the reason he wrote a shtar for you. So, and since he didn't give any money, it turns out that the whole writing of the shtar is all a matana, and matana ba'onas is not a valid matana. The Gemara in Maseches Gittin elaborates that originally Titus made a gzeira that anyone who's eino horeg Yisrael yahrguhu. That Titus's original gzeira was anyone who doesn't kill a Jew is going to be chayv misa. He's going to kill anyone who doesn't kill a Jew. That it was a law of the land that you had to go kill a Jew. And then later they made a gzeira that anyone who's horeg Yehudi has to pay arba zuzim. That it no longer became a mitzvah in Titus's mind to kill a Jew. It was now that you were allowed to, but you had to pay for the privilege. You had to pay four zuz in order to be able to kill a Jew. And then ultimately there goes there that that Jewish blood is not cheap, and that Kol Yisrael, if anyone who is horig Yisrael, Yaharguhu, is going to be chayiv misa for killing a Jew. So in the times of the first two gzeros, since the Jewish people were nervous that the guy is going to kill them because they had good reason to be afraid the guy is going to kill them, so that we assume that there was a full gemira stas to be makna their field. They're more than willing to be makna their field belave shalem in order to save their lives. But in the third time of the third gzera, where it was forbidden for a non-Jew by their own laws to kill a Jew, if the guy wanted to kill him, the Jew would say, okay, take my karka and leave me alone, and then he'd sue him in court because he knew he'd be able to win, because the guy had no right to kill him. So that's where we assume that a matana that's given without that's given ba'ones is not a valid matana. So you see from this Mishnah that the raya that the lokeach brings from the Gazlan is not a raya. So kolshkein, the raya that the Gazlan himself brings is not a raya. So what's the chiddush of Rav Huna when he says that the mekach of the Gazlan is batel, even if he's able to bring an eidim, even if he's able to bring eidim or a shtar? Of course it's batel. We already know this from the Mishnah and Gittin. So answer the Gemara, the Chiddush of Rav Huna is La Fuki Midrav. It's to tell me, unlike Rav, Da Amar Rav, that Rav says Lo Shanu Ella Da Amar Leilei Chazei Kukni. The Mishnah only says the Mekach is Batel when the original Bailim says to this buyer Lei Chazei Kukni, go and be Kona the Karka, where the Mechir is not going to be Chal, because it could be that he was saying that because he was terrified. He was afraid that otherwise the guy is going to kill him. Aval Bishtar Kona, but Rav held that if he wrote you a shtar, then it's kona, then it's going to work, because the mekach is not going to be batal. So kamash malan, that's why Rav Huna has to tell me, kiddush Shmuel, that unlike Rav, I paskin like Shmuel, says Rav Huna, tamar af b'shtar nami lo kona, that even if the original Bailim wrote you a shtar that says that you're the owner of this property, you're still not kona, it still doesn't work. We assume that not only would he say lechazeku kni because of pachad, because he's terrified, he would also write a shtar because he's terrified, ad sheikhtav achayis nechasim, unless he also writes in the shtar achayis nechasim, that if for whatever reason this field gets taken away from you because it was stolen, that I'm going to reimburse you for that. That's clearly a raya that he actually sold it to him, because he doesn't do that because of the pachad that the guy is going to kill him, because the guy doesn't care about that. He's not interested in whether the Jew that he stole it from is writing achrayis nechasim or not. So the fact that he does something extra, that he puts achrayis nechasim in the shtar, that shows that he really means it, that he truly intends to sell this property. So that is the shita of Rav Huna as reported by Rav Nachman. So again, Rav Huna held that if a gazlan brings a raya, he brings Aden, brings a shtar, ein raya so raya, ein mamid nsad biyadov. Rav Bibi misayim ba mishmeid Rav Nachman, but Rav Bibi quotes that Rav Nachman himself disagrees. After he quoted Rav Huna, he holds karka ein lo, aval ma'os yesh lo. The gazlan doesn't get the karka, but he does get his money back, meaning we assume that he paid for it, and therefore he's going to get it. Remember, we said, Tosfos said the double lashon that that Rav Huna had used was ein rayasaraya ve'ein mamid nisad biyado, because ein mamid nisad biyado means he doesn't get to keep the property, and ein rayasaraya means we don't assume that he paid for it and he's going to get money back. But that's where Rav Nachman disagrees. Says the money, if they're eidim that he gave money to the ma'ar, so then yeshlo, that we don't make a knas on the gazlan that he's going to lose the money. The ma'ar has to return the money to the gazlan when he gets back the karka. But that's only true if the eidim say we saw the gazlan count out the money, or they wrote it in the shtar, and we don't assume that the eidim were made sheker because of the fear of the gazlan. Avlamu eidim b'fenenu hodelo. But if the eidim say, look, we didn't actually see any money change hands, but we saw that this ma'arer was modet, that there was a mechira, so lo, then you don't give money back, because we assume that he was only modet, that he got money because he was afraid, but he didn't actually get money. Kidrav Kahana, Da'amar Ilav Da'odilei, and this is aligned with what we learned from Rav Kahana yesterday, that if the guy says to himself, if I'm not moda that I got money for this karka, have a mamtile the day l'chamri l'shachver, he's going to massamine to the government, I'm going to be in serious trouble. So only if we saw that money changed hands, only then does he get the money back. Period. That's the end of the discussion from about the gazlan and whether he has a raya or not. So now the Gemara moves on to the sugya of Taliyu Avizabin. Amar Rav Huna, Taliyu Avizabin, if they hang a person or torture a person in order for him to sell something that belongs to him, to the point that he ultimately is nisratza, that he ultimately agrees to do so, zvine zvine, the sale is a binding sale. Now the Gemara is going to say, we're going to see much later, we're going to see this, not whatever soon, that Rav Huna is only talking about a case where he got money for the mekach. But if it was a matana because of an ones, it's not going to be chal at all, right? Taliyua v'zavin zvine zvine, but taliyua v'nasan, that we don't assume is going to work. So there is a machlokas rishonim. Does the Gemara already know that at this point? So it's a whole question of like how to view every raya the Gemara brings and all the svaras the Gemara brings. Does the Gemara already realize that if there was no money that changed hands, that it is not a valid transaction? The shita of the Rashbam and Tosos, the Rishonim on the page, is the Gemara already knows that right now, that for getting the money and the onus, that's when he's misratza lemekach, that's when he agrees, and that's when it's going to be a binding sale. But without any money, taliyu avinasan is not going to be a binding sale. However, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, that whole school of Rishonim, all write that no, that's only the maskanas haGemara, that the Gemara is going to say that svara of agavon, so the person is mekabel the money, and he's willing to do the sale. But before we come up with the svara, which is the basis for Taliyu Avizavin, when we have no idea why Taliyu Avizavin works, the Gemara is going to give four possibilities why Taliyu Avizavin works. So before we actually come to some sort of conclusion as to what the basis for Taliyu Avizavin is, the Gemara must assume that forced transactions work regardless of whether there's money that changes hands or no money that changes hands. So that's the machlokes we've shown him how to look at this point. But let's see what the svaras are. My taima, what's the reason for toliyo v'zav zvini zvini? Why is it a binding sale? So possibility number one, called the mazmin inish, anything that a person sells, ilav da anislav mazmin. Whenever a person is selling something, it's because there's some sort of onus, meaning he needs the money. If he didn't need the money, he wouldn't be selling his stuff. V'afilu achi zvini zvini. And so, meaning this is presumably when a person sells personal items. Anytime a person sells a piece of property that he has, it's because he needs the money. Why would you sell real estate? People don't like to sell things that they own personally. Well, if you own a store and you buy things in bulk and you sell them and that's your business, so obviously that's not because of an onus that, oh, I really wish I could keep all the sugar on the grocery shelf that I have to. No, adraba, you're interested in selling it. But when you're selling a personal item, we assume that a person is being forced to sell it because he needs the money. And if not for that, he wouldn't sell it. And nevertheless, vini zvi afilu achis, vini zvini. We assume he has a gemiras das. And since the Torah is not mechalik between whether a person sells beratzon and a person sells because of hechrich, because he's in a difficult financial position, so we see that it works even ba'ones. So here also it's going to work ba'ones. Says Gemara, nah, v'dil m'shayni unza d'navshe, m'unza d'achrini, maybe a self-imposed onus is different than an onus where somebody else is forcing you to sell. Meaning, yeah, I may need the money, so it's a self-imposed sale. I force myself to sell because I need the money. Maybe that's different than someone else coming and forcing me to sell something that I had no interest in selling whatsoever. So that's not necessarily a raya. But that idea that the fact that you need money is considered an onus on some level, I mean, the Gemara doesn't reject that it's called an onus. It just calls it onus de nafshe, right? That it's still some level of onus. That plays a role in halacha. The Kleisenberger Rebbe points out in his Tshuvas and Divrei Yatziv there is a halacha. The Tshuvas Hadashin writes, the Gemara in Brachos tells us there is such a concept called tfilas tashlum. And the person misses a tefillah because of an ones, so he can the next tefillah he could daven a double shmonesse. So the first one for the chiyuv and the second one for the tashlumin of that which he missed. Right, that's well known halacha. So the Truma Sedeshin writes, and what if it wasn't an absolute ones where you couldn't daven? You missed mincha because you were going to lose a lot of money if you didn't miss mincha. Whatever was going on at mincha time was going to be a deal that you were going to lose. It was going to be a lot of money that you were going to lose. So is that called an ones where you're allowed to daven tefillas tashlumin? Says the Truma Sedeshin, yes. He says, I don't think you should do it. I think you should daven mincha. But even though you shouldn't do it, it's enough of an ones that you're eligible for tefillas tashlumin. And that's paskin din shulchan aruch in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Ches. And Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayei Adam that even if you were tarud in not with a loss of money, but with a loss of profit, with a lost opportunity, that you missed out on an opportunity to make money, that also is called an ones. Even though it's a, because an ones mamon is considered an ones legabe hilchus tefillah. So the Kleisenberger Rebbe says, you have a raya from our sugya, because in our sugya, the Gemara calls it an ones when you have to sell something because you need the money. So anytime you have to sell, that's just the profit that you're hoping to get. So anytime you have to sell something, that's enough of an ones. So it's a low threshold of what's called an ones legabe tefillah. So anything that's called an ones in any context in halacha will be an ones for tefillah. Rav Moshe says something similar by a person that wants to take a job where one of the conditions of employment is that he's not going to be able to wear a yarmulke. So Rav Moshe writes that you're allowed to take such a job because the tzorich parnasa is an onus mamon, and an onus mamon patters you even from a mitzvah saseh. It would patter you even from tefillah. So kol shkein that it patters you from kisei arosh, which is not min adin, it's only minag Yisrael. So he says, but that's only if there's no chok hagoyim leilich begilei arosh. If there's a chok hagoyim, that goyim have to go begilei arosh, and that's the way that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are forced to go, or something like that, so then it's a violation of a daraisa of chukas hagoyim. That's the discussion in the Taz, and where he says that it could be that wearing a yarmulke is a daraisa if you live in such a culture. But he says America happens to not be such a culture, so mail it to minhag, so you're allowed to take a job where you still can't say brachos with the begilei arosh. So if you go out for a business lunch or something, you got to figure that part out. But you're allowed to take a job, even though a person's not going to be able to wear a yarmulke. Okay, so that's the first possibility. So first possibility, the Gemara says, why is it that Taliyah v'Zavin works. So first possibility was everyone's forced. Everyone's forced to sell things. The Gemara rejects that because no, everyone's forcing themselves to sell things. An external forcing may not be a valid kinyan. So says Gemara, okay, we have to try again. Elok Tanya, a second possibility. Pasuk says when it comes to the Karban Ola, Yakriv Oso, that a person brings it, so Malame Chakofen Oso, from the, we darshan, from the fact that it said, that the beginning of the Pasuk says Yakrivenu, that we force the noder to bring the Karban Ola. So Yachal Bal Karcho, I might think we force him, that means even if he has no interest, if he's not, if he doesn't want to. So Talmud Omer, that's why the Pasuk says, Liritzono, that it's Liritzono. Haketzad, well, how could that be? So Kofen Oso, Achiyomer, wrote Rotsani, we force him until he says Rotsani, until it becomes Liritzono, and that must be the base of Rav Huna, that a mechira based on being forced is considered a mechira, just like bringing a Karban Ola based on force is considered to be Liritzono, bringing a Karban Ola. Tosos raises the question, wait a second, by the Karban Kfiyah works to be considered Liritzono, even though you didn't get any money for it. So it sounds like even for a Matana, Kfiyah works. We don't pass it that way. We pass until you have a Zavin, it works, but until you have a Nasan, doesn't work. Isn't a Karban Ola more similar to until you have a Nasan than it is to until you have a Zavin? So Tosos writes that any time a person's Mechuyav al Pidin to do something, that's like a Mekach, that you want to do it, and therefore by a get, it's also, we're going to soon see, considered like a mekach. So since you're chayiv to do it, we assume that you want it to be binding like a mekach, like a mecher, and it's not considered to be like a matana. But anyway, so is this a good raya? Says we're nah, v'dilma shiny asam denichle d'tavidei kapara. Maybe by a carbon it's different because a person is always happy to be able to have a kapara. So therefore, we assume that when you force him, he really, really wants to do it because he wants to have that kapara. That's the famous Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Gerushin, where the Rambam writes, "Avol misha takvo yitzar hara levatal mitzvah olasas avera." Someone who's yitzar hara draws him to be vatal mitzvah, to do an avera, and v'huka chenasa davar shechayv lasoso achenisrach davar also lasoso. And we beat him up until he does what he's supposed to do or doesn't do what he's not supposed to do. Ein ze ones mimenu, anus mimenu. That's not an anus. Elohu anas atzmo b'dayta ha'ra'a. The anus was on the other side. It was his yetzer hara that was being ma'anis him. Lefichach zesheh erotz of the garish, the Rambam says. So if a guy refuses to give his wife a get when he's supposed to, me'achar shu rotz alasas kol ha'mitzos l'srach min averos. Since the real ani, the real him, wants to do all the mitzos and wants to stay away from the averos, v'yitzro hu shatakvo, it's his yetzer hara that's getting in the way. V'kim chukat shatashash yitzro v'amarotz ani kvar girish l'ritzono. So we beat the yetzer out of him till we get to the real Ratzon of the person. So that's the concept of Kofen Osa Achiyomer Otzani, is because Nichle Tetavid Kapara. A person wants to do the right thing. So when it comes to the Karban, it means that he wants to have a Kapara. Now, Kapara over here does not mean that we're talking about Kapara that you get with a Karban Asham or a Karban Chatas, because the Pasuk is about a Karban Ola. So it doesn't come directly to address any Avera. So it's not really a Kapara. What it means is that he wants to do the right thing, that he wants to do his mitzvah, as opposed to kapara. The fact is, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Zvachim that an ola is mechaper for certain things, for failure to fulfill in mitzvah saseh. But the Gemara says, yeah, but it's only mechaper mikufya. It's like almost derech agav that it's mechaper, and it's not a full kapara. So, meaning the real karbanos that are mechaper are chatas and nash, and that comes for a particular avera. But a karbanol is not a real mechaper. But nevertheless, since it's doing the right thing, so we assume that it's rotsani. But that doesn't tell you that when you force someone to sell something, who makes that the right thing, right? Meaning, why he's not interested in selling something when you force him to sell something, and therefore we have to move on to a third possible source for how do I know that till you have a of and that the sale is binding. Ve'elami seifa, we derive it from the seifa of the brisa. It says, v'keinat ha'omer b'gitei nashim, that the same is true when it comes to a get, that kofen osa chiyomer rotzani, that if, let's say, it's a case where a man has to divorce his wife, he's a mukashchin, where she can say, I can't live with this guy, I can't live with a guy who's a mukashchin, so we force him to divorce his wife, we're kofen osa chiyomer rotzani, we can force him until he says rotzani. The Rashbam explains that the gerushin is going to chal, is only going to be chal when it's midaito or meritzono of the megarish, because the pasuk says the kosov la get krisus v'nasan biyada. So it sounds like it's only if it's midaito, that it's only if he initiates, he's interested, he wants to do it. Chassam Sofer explains because nesina means something that you give midaito. It's not called the nesina if it's really bal karcho. So we beat him up till he says rotzani. So we hear also forcing a sale is also the same thing. Now giving a get is not to like bringing a carbon ola. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a technical mitzvah that a person has. So says Gemara, yeah, it is. Dilma shayni asam the mitzvah lishma devrei chachamim. Maybe by a get we assume it's actually yom rotzani and that it works even though he's being forced because it's a mitzvah lishma devrei chachamim. The chachamim tell you that you got to give a get. Then you got to give a get. Then that becomes a mitzvah. So we still don't have a raya about an actual sale. How do I know till you have a zavin zvini zvini? So we had three possibilities so far, and each one was rejected. The first possibility is that every sale in a certain sense is an ones. We said, come on, that's just your own personal motivation to sell. Then we said, well, to bring carbonola, an ones works when they force you? Yeah, that's because it's a mitzvah. But to give a get, that's also a mitzvah. So now, Ella, the fourth possibility. Ella svaru. There's no pasuk. It's a svara. Agavonse, gomer amakna, that because of the onus and the beating you're putting on the guy, so he's ultimately makna b'lev shalem, that he's makabel and he's willing to sell it. So the Rishonim are bothered by a kasha, Tos raises the kasha. So then why by a korban do I need a pasuk of Yakrav Osol Ritzono to be Mechadish that we're Kofo Sa'achi Omerotzani if there's a svara that whenever you beat a guy up, he ultimately gets to the full Ratzon? Meaning there's a pasuk by a karban that tells me that it works, that it's considered a liritzono. If it's a svara, and by a sale, we assume it's a svara, that anytime you beat someone up, he gets to the point of ratzon. So I don't need a pasuk by the karban. So Tosus and Dibra Maskel Ella suggest that yes, it's a svara, but I would have thought that the din is different by a karban. Because if he only agrees to do it based on kfiyah, I would think that it becomes a pasul karban because of zevach rishayim toev. Meaning, ain't a chinami, it becomes his ratzon. But he's a rasha for refusing for so long. And because he's a rasha, I would think it's a zevach rishayim toeva, and therefore it's an invalid karban. That's why I need a pasuk specifically by the karban, even though in the end of the day, it's really a svara. The marsha suggests that Tosfos really could have said something else. That means svara in a chinami, he's willing to bring the karban. But how do I know that Beis Din is forced, that Beis Din is obligated to be kofa him to do so? Oh, that's what the pasuk is telling me. Melamed shekofin oso. Meaning, the svara tells me that if you are kofa him, that's called the ritzono. But how do I know that I'm supposed to be kofa him? That's the pasuk that you have by the karban to tell me that I'm supposed to be kofa him. So the Marsha says, you know what? I love my teretz so much. I'm really bothered. Why didn't Tosfos think of my teretz? Meaning, isn't that a good answer? That the pasuk by karban is needed to tell me that Beis Din has a responsibility to be kofa? So Marsha says, it must be Tosfos didn't like the teretz. So why didn't Tosfos like the teretz? It's not that Tosfos didn't think of my teretz. They thought of my teretz and they didn't like it. So he said, it must be they didn't like it because it's a davar pashut, that if there's a mitzvah to do, that Beis Din is supposed to be kofan ala mitzvos. So they're always kofan ala mitzvos. So if there's a svara that it works, then of course Beis Din has to be kofan, that the guy will do the mitzvah, just like any other mitzvah. So anyway, so that's Tosfos's approach. Is that the Hava Mina would have been that the carbon is possible because of Zevach Rishayim Toeva. So now the Gemara asks several kashas. So most of Rav Yehuda get Hamu'usa, a get that they forced the husband to give because he's a Mukashchin or something like that. And therefore he's La Halacha, he has to give a get. B, Israel, if it's Jewish people that are forcing him to give the get kosher, then the get's going to be a valid get, they're divorced. Ubov the chavim pasul, but if it's of the chavim that are forcing him to give the get, then it's a pasul get. Ubov the chavim, and if the Israel wants to force the giving of the get through Ovdei Kochavim, meaning the people you want to hire to be your thugs that are going to beat the guy up, are going to be Ovdei Kochavim. So we tell the Ovdei Kochavim that here's what you got to tell him. Choftan also, beat him up, for Omrim lo, Asay Mashi Yisrael Omer Lecha, that you have to make sure your nusach is correct. You can't just beat him up and say, give your wife a get, because then it's all the chav that are forcing. You have to say, do what the Jewish Beis Din is telling you to do, what the Jewish people are telling you to do. So since the engine that's driving this kfiya is the Jewish Beis Din, so the get is going to be kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that the reason that if Yisrael forces him, or if he tells a nakri to force him to listen to what the Yisrael is saying, the get is going to be kosher, is because you were kofet to be mekayim the mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim. But if nachrim force him to be megarish on their own, the get's going to be possible. Why? Because since there's no mitzvah, he's not interested in being megarish. So such a kfiya is an onus, and it's not valid. But v'amai, according to the svara that we just said, that anytime somebody is forced to do anything, ultimately they mentally get there to the point where they're committed. So hasam nami nema agavon se gomer magarish. Meaning, if you would have said like answers number two and three as to why it is that the toliu of zavin zvini zini, it's because it's just like a carbon ola, it's just like giving a get. So I understand, it's because he's doing a mitzvah. So a person will get mentally there to doing a mitzvah. But once you're going to just say it's a svara, and it's got nothing to do with the mitzvah, that whenever you force somebody, ultimately they get to the point where they're fully committed to doing it. Why, when the guy is forcing a person to give a get, is the get invalid? The person will be fully committed when if you beat him up enough. So answer Gemara, Ha'id Mar Allah. No, you're right. Meaning it is the get is valid on a d'oraisa level. Meaning really, if the guy forces him, mid'oraisa the get would be valid. It's a din mid'rabbanan that it's not. Ha'id Mar Allah. On a daraisa level, even by above the chavim, the get is going to be kosher. Matam amru above the chavim possible. Why did they say that it's possible by above the chavim? We don't want every woman to go, and encourage Novi Chavim to beat up her husband in order to get out of a marriage. And then she'll be able to just leave her husband in such a case. The Rashbam adds, and she'll, in order to encourage the guy to do that, she'll be mezana with the guy. It's asking for trouble. She'll do whatever it takes to get the guy to force her husband to give a get. So that's why they said, no, if there's no Jewish Beis Din behind it, then we don't trust that this is being done outside of Yosef Tov, and therefore we're the Rabbanan determined that it's not a valid get. Now the Gemara Maseches Gittin asks on this svara of Misharshia that if the reason is because of a gzeira midrabanan, then she should have been mugureshes min haTorah, meaning midaraisa it's a valid get, and the halacha is she's not considered mugureshes at all. Meaning the main afkamina whether she's mugureshes min haTorah and it's only not mugureshes midrabanan versus not mugureshes at all. Either way, she needs another get. Nafkamina is, let's say the husband then drops dead, can she go marry a Kohen? So if there was never a get at all, not midaraisa, not midrabanan, when the husband drops dead, she can marry a Kohen. But if there was a get that worked min haTorah and it only didn't work midrabanan, the chorus, she should not be allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara over there says that the reason is for something else, that nachum areinam b'nei kfiya. It gives a different explanation than what the Gemara gives over here, which is interesting. Okay, so now the Gemara asks vaiter on Rav Huna. So again, we said the svar of Rav Huna was agavon se gomer makne. So we challenged that. Then how come when a guy beats up a guy to give a get, it's not agavon se gomer makne? We said, oh, that's because that's a din midrabanan. So Moshe Rav Amnuna, another challenge. Lakach misukrikon v'chazal lakach v'abalabayis. We learned from that sugi in Maseches Gittin that if you buy from the sukrikon and then you go and you buy from the balabayis, you mechah batal. The mechah is batal. Amay osam nami ne agavon se gomer makne. Shouldn't we assume that the original balabayis was Gomer Makna because of the Ones, if that's a Svara? Say it Marallah. We already said about that Mishnah, that Amrav, Lo Shanu El Adarmale, Le Chazeko Kni. That din, that the Mekach is Batal, is only if all he sent to you was Le Chazeko Kni, that you can go and be Konit. So that he probably said because of the fear of the guy, but he didn't really have intention to be Makna. Aval Bishtar Kana, Breno Chinami. If he writes a Shtar, even if he was being forced to do so, it is a valid kinyan because we assume agavon se gomer makni. Says Gemara, that's great, but l'shmuel damar af bishtar, nami lo kana, according to Shmuel, who says that even with a shtar, we assume it's not a valid kinyan. Ma'ikal ameimar, what happened to the svara of agavun se gomer o makne? Why is it not a valid kinyan? So moda Shmuel, hechad yav zuzei, because Shmuel is going to be moda that when money changes hands, that agavun se gomer o makne, that it actually is a valid kinyan. Meaning if you do everything with a shtar and money, and all, then even though it was forced, we assume it is a valid kinyan. Ul rabibi de misayimba mishmed rav Nachman karka ein lo ma'os yesh lo ma'ikal meimar. But according to Rav Bibi, who says in the name of Rav Nachman that the Gazlan brings a shtar ready mechira, the raya is not a raya. But that was in the name of Rav Huna. But Rav Nachman himself says that karka ein lo, the Gazlan doesn't get to keep the karka, but ma'os yesh lo, you give him back the money. So you see that even if you already paid, there was a shtar, there was a money, and there was everything, mechira is still not chal. What happened to Agavon se gomer makni with everything? With all, in the mechira apparently is not chal. So Rabbi Meimrahu, Rabbi in the name of Rav Nachman is a Meimra of Amorai. Meimra l'Rav Huna lo svirle. Rav Huna doesn't have to answer for every Meimra. He's also an Amora, so he can argue on that halacha because it's a halacha stated by an Amora. Say Nachnami when Rav Huna says Talu avizavin zvini zvini that a forced sale is a binding sale because agavonse gomeru makne. Yeah, Rav Huna is paskining against Rabbi B'shem Rav Nachman, who says that it is not a binding sale. So Amar Rav Hilchasa, we paskin talu avizabin zvini zvini, that a forced sale is in fact a binding sale. But Rava attaches three caveats to that. V'lo amaron ella b'sadastam. That's only when the guy was forced to sell a sada among his fields, and he chose one of the fields, the seller chose which of the fields to sell. So then we say, okay, he picked the worst of his fields, and he was willing to do so. He was gomer makna. Aval b'sada zo lo. But if the guy comes and says, whoever's forcing him comes, and says, I want this field, then we assume the mechira is not going to be chal when it's being forced, because he's not willing to give up this field. U'b'sada zo, and even in the case of Sadazo, we don't say that the mechira is not chal unless he didn't count out money for him, where we saw that money changed hands. But if the mocher counted out money that he was mekabel, like sellers normally do, then lo. Then we don't say that the mechira is not chal. The mechira, in fact, is chal. And we also don't say that the mechira is not chal, except for if he didn't have some way to get out of it from this mocher with some sort of dechia, like to say, wait till tomorrow, wait till my wife comes and I could discuss it with her. But if he had a way to get out of it, lo, we do not assume that the mechira is going to be batel. So again, it was really only one exception. So Rava had said that the halach is tal yov zav zvini zvini, with the exception of a case where it was sadazo. Sadazo, it's not zvini zvini. But even that exception has exceptions to the exception, right? Meaning even sadazo might be by sadazo we said zvini is lav zvini, but even in sadazo, if he counted out the money, it's going to work. If he is havali l'shtamute and he chose not to be mishtamit and come up with an excuse, it's still going to work. V'ilchsa b'kulu, the halacha is in all of these cases, tav zvini zvini v'afil b'sadazo, that the sale is binding when it's taliyu of a zavin, even in the case of sadazo. The Rashbam says, as long as the guy said rotza ani, that much he still needs. Beis Yosef says, no, he could have just been shosek as well. That would also work. How do I know that it works when someone is forced into a transaction? Isha kisadazo danya, because an isha is like sadazo, meaning there's no getting out of it. There's no other option. Meaning a man is being makadish an isha, it's this isha. So that's more similar to sadazo as opposed to the mocher choosing which of his fields he's going to give. And yet va'amar mar, we learn tell you of a kaddish kiddush of kiddushin, that if a man is makadish nisha bal korcha, that we assume she's makabel the kesef kiddushin, and she ultimately really agrees, even though she couldn't get out of she had no excuse, no escape route to get out of it. Say I'll wait till tomorrow, something like that. So kiddush isha is similar to a mechira, and since the woman is being mocheres as atzma in a sadazo kind of situation, because the man had identified her as the one that he wants, so you see that it works. Marbar Avashi Amar, Beisha Vadei Kiddushin Lo Havu. Marbar Avashi says, it doesn't work by Kiddushin. It for sure can't work by Kiddushin. You can't have a man force a woman, hang a woman up on a tree and say, I'm not letting you down until you accept Kiddushin. And then he gives her Kiddushin. Why not? Because who else is Shloka Hogan? He's acting very improperly to try to be Mekadesh and Isha that way. Leficha Chasuima Shloka Hogan. So we act improperly toward him, Vafkin Rabban the Kiddushin Midei. And we're Mafkia the Kiddushin, that even though on a Daraisa level it should work, the Rabbanan come along and say, we're uprooting such a Kiddushin that's done so improperly, the Rabbanan are not going to recognize the effectiveness of that Kiddushin. So I'm like Ravina Ravashi, Ravina says, Ravashi, with the Rabbanan are going to undo a Kiddushin Midaraisa, Tenach the Kaddish Bekasba. I understand very well if you're Makadesh with Kesef, the Rabbanan have the right to say, Hefker based in Hefker, the money was never yours to give to, right? They always ask Chasim, is this your ring? Is it your money? Because if it's not, then the Kiddush is not going to be valid. So the Rabbanan could say, Hefker based in Hefker, it's not his ring. So good, there was no Kiddushin. The Rabbanan could uproot all Kiddushin. But Kaddish Bebiya, Michael, the main verb, but if you do Kiddush Bia, what are they going to do with the Bia? There's no way to uproot the Kiddushin there. So Amalei, Ravashi says to Ravina, Shavir Rabban the Bilaso, Bilaso knows, sure, there's a way to uproot the Kiddushin. They'll take that Kiddush Bia and they'll make it into a Bia's Nos. This is where Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rabbeim of Rashi have that unusual understanding of Tenach the Kaddish Bekaspa, where they understand that Kiddush Kesef, the Rabbanan are able to be Mafkia, because Kiddush Kesef, they understand, is only Kiddushin Midrabbanan. But Kiddush Bia, which is a Kiddushin Midaraisa, that was the Gemara's Kasha. How could they be Mafkia Kiddushin Midaraisa? The Rashbam over here asks, what do you mean Kiddush Kesef is only Midrabbanan? We learned Kicha Mistayafron, it's a Gezerah Shava. A Gezerah Shava is a way to derive a Din Midaraisa. And also, what would the answer be? That Kiddush Bia, the Chum make it a Bias Nus? The Kiddush was Chal Min HaTorah. How could the Rabbanan turn it into a Bias Nus? That's why the majority of the Rishonim assume not that way. That we understand that it's a Kiddush Midaraisa the entire time. The Gemara was just saying, I understand that a transaction of money, the Rabbanan have the ability to say money belongs to somebody, it doesn't belong to somebody. But the Gemara struggled with a physical act. How do you undo a physical action that a person did, an act of Bia? So the Gemara ultimately says, yeah, we can look at that act of Bia as if it were a Bia's Nus and not a Bia in the context of Kiddushin. Okay, so tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tavi toward the bottom of Mem Chesem. Everyone have a great day.